Yes, God is real. He's real to me. Some may doubt him, but I know too much about him. But God is real to me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we bow to you in humility, revering and respecting your holy name, your word. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, what you are doing now. As always, we ask that you increase as we decrease. More of you and less of me. Lord, I pray that as I stand, that your word will come from you from heaven. Lord, as the rain and snow that watereth the earth to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Lord, we're believing that your word will come from you and will not return unto you void. But it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Lord, we pray that you make us one. As Jesus prayed that as you and Christ are one, that we will be one, that your word, the word of your son's coming, will be believed for salvation's sake. Lord, we confess our sins and ask you to forgive us of all of our sins, sins of omission, sin of commission. Forgive us that we'll be fit vessels to be used by you. Lord, we pray that you manifest yourself in this worship experience. Lord, that our coming be not in vain. Speak, we'll do. For your glory and our good. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, by faith.
By faith.
Look at another and say, by faith.
By faith.
Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith.
By faith.
Amen. Amen. By faith. By faith. Faith is confidence in God, conviction from his word, and a consciousness of God's being. Faith is confidence in God, conviction from the Word of God, and a consciousness of God's being. Without it, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't matter your level of effort. If you don't have faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says that if you're going to please God, you must believe that He is. That He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That you can't be haphazard. You can't be indifferent. There has to be an active faith, active confidence in seeking God. For it is 19 by faiths we see in Hebrews, which suggests to us that faith is more than cognition, is more than a thought. It requires activity. That if your faith is not active, it is a dead faith. James, the brother of our Christ, says that if you show me your faith without works, I will show you my faith by my works. And he goes on to say that faith without works is dead. No good. It is here in Hebrews chapter 11. We come across the third mention in Hebrews by faith. First of all, it is by faith Abram, or Abel, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It is by faith that Enoch walked with God, and he was translated. It is here in chapter 11, verse 7, where we see Noah, and Noah, he teaches us how to work and serve God by faith. The Bible says that he believed God. He believed God's judgment concerning the judgment to come. He believed the word of God concerning the judgment of God. That God judged the inhabitants of the earth, the inhabitants of the world, because of the moral conditions of the world during the time of Noah is revealed in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, when human beings began to increase in number on the earth, and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not always contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went to the the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It was wickedness in the earth. It was increase in population, sexual depravity, gross wickedness, no consciousness of God. Violence was upon the land. And God regretted that he made man. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 37, in those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. It was a terrible time, a depraved time. But the Bible says Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord because he walked with God amid the wickedness of man. Noah found favor with God because he was righteous, blameless, and he walked with God. It's just something about walking with God that makes us different and causes us to be standouts in the world. It is something about walking with God that if you walk with God, God will pour his favor out on your life. If you walk with God, God will pour out his blessings on your life. If you walk with God, God will keep your life. He walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God like Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. Well, God, when he went, he walked with God. He walked. And sometimes that's all it takes, is you going where God's going. He walked with God. God said go left, he went left. God said go right, he went right. He walked with God. And he found favor because he was close to God. There's several things in the text that I want to divulge for our hearing as we consider by faith, as we consider how to please God by faith. First of all, a faith that pleases God is a faith that heeds the warning of God. Verse 7, Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet. Here it is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. That's all Noah had from God. He had a warning from God. And his faith caused him to heed the warning of God. God warned Noah of the cataclysmic event in the form of a massive universal flood. The flood covered the entire earth, and no life was spared except for Noah, his family, and two of every kind of animal. God warned Noah. But listen here, God's warning precedes his wrath. God, he warns before he pours out his wrath. A 120 years of warning. God came to Noah and warned Noah that in 120 years it was going to flood. So his warning preceded the wrath. So 120 years of grace before the flood. In other words, God gave Noah 120 years to build the ark. Noah built the ark to avert the wrath of God. What God will do in warning you is give you a word that will help you obey his holy will. He gave Noah a warning. And Noah obeyed. And his obedience served as a warning to the people. See, God spoke to Noah, and Noah had the responsibility of warning the people. So he warned them both in word and work. He warned them because he preached, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. He preached. And they thought Noah was foolish and irrational, so they ignored the warning. He built and built the ark, and they ignored the hammer and the nails. They ignored the sawing of the wood. All of the work Noah did, they thought he was doing in vain. And Noah, he worked along. He warned along, and they didn't heed the warning. Let me drop some in on you. God's warning does not always avert his wrath. Y'all just missed it. His warning does not always avert his wrath. No one in Noah's day believed the warning. He had no converts. Can you imagine preaching 120 years with no one walking the aisle to say, I want to be saved? Can you imagine preaching for 120 years and nobody say, I know the Lord for myself? Can you imagine preaching 120 years and when it came time to sing God's praises, everybody's lips were zipped except for Noah and his family? 120 years and nobody got converted. And we get mad if we don't have one to get converted in a week or two. But here it is, 120 years. Amen. You know, it was a huge, massive undertaking that he had to warn. But not only did he warn by faith, he worked by faith. Noah's faith was rooted in God's word. He didn't have a written Bible. All he had was the word of God. He had no prior experience of a flood because Genesis chapter 2, 6 says that the mist went up out of the ground and watered the earth. So he didn't have an experience of rain. All he had was a word from the Lord. God spoke to him, and that was enough for him to rest his faith on God. What's enough for you? Is God's word enough for you to rest your faith on him? You don't need a feeling, a tingling feeling all over you to believe God. You don't need the sun to stand still to believe God. You don't need it to rain on a certain day for you to believe God. You ought to believe God at his word. Is there anybody in here can believe God at his word? You don't need God to do some special significant thing in your life. All you need is for God to say it, and that's enough. He rested his faith on the word of God. He was moved by his respect for God, by God's conveyed directions. The text says Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark. He built the ark according to God's directions. See, this is where most people will be off now. Because you hear God say, do something. But you have a problem with the way God wants you to do it. You want to do it your own way. Come on in the house. God tell you to praise a certain way. You say it don't take all of that. You want to do it your own way, but God wants it done a specific way. He gives him instructions as to how to build the ark. Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a wonder shall thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. Here it is. Notice the enormity of the work. Genesis chapter 6, verse 15. The ark was about 400 feet in length, 75 feet in breadth, and 45 feet in height. It was a massive structure. 120 years, the expenditure of the work, great expense of time, 120 years. What if God called you to a 120 year project? I want you to build me something in 120 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. 120 years expenditure of time. But notice the expenditure of toil, the expenditure of treasure. But then notice the enemies of the work. No doubt there were scientists and philosophers who said it will never work. You know, you have that kind of opposition when you really set yourself to obey God and please God. You have people, naysayers, that will say it will never work. They want your project to fail, but somebody, he ought to be a witness that there is no failure in God. That as long as you are doing it for God, there is no failure in God. Look at somebody and help me preach. Tell them, I'm not a failure because I'm in God. I'm victorious. I'm a champion. I'm a conqueror. Matter of fact, I'm more than a conqueror. Because I'm in God. If you believe it, give God some praise. They were looking, wanting him to fail. But there is no failure in God. God said it. That settled it. There were doubters and scoffers who mocked Noah, saying he's crazy and confused. And listen, he was acting in faith. Regardless of the world's opinion and the ridicule, Noah, his faith made him stand out in obedience unto God. He was segregated from the community. Listen, don't try to fit in. Faith makes you different. I want you to preach that with me this morning. Don't try to fit in with the world. Your faith makes you different. Don't try to fit in with the world. Your faith makes you different. Come on, help me preach it if you will. Look at somebody and tell them, don't try to fit in. Your faith makes you different. I talk different. I act different. I look different. I walk different. I stand up different. I'm different. My faith makes me different. I smile different. I even laugh. My faith. Y'all trying to fit in, look like the world and act like the world, and the world don't have it. Best, listen, the best is in the Lord. I'm different. And when people are laughing at you, let them laugh. As a boy, my dad would say, he who laughs first won't have the last laugh. Let me come on. Let me bring it home to you. You remember Sarah. She laughed at the angels that brought her the message about her son, that she would have a bouncing baby boy. She thought she had to laugh until God impregnated her with Abraham and told her to call the boy Isaac, which means laughter. God got the last laugh. Different. His faith not only heeded the warning, his faith not only caused him to work, but thirdly, and I'm done, his faith saved from the wrath of God. Verse 7 again, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It is not that he was right because of the work. No, because no one can earn righteousness. He was right because of his faith. And because of his faith, he was positioned in righteousness. It was imputed, which means it was placed into his account by faith. By faith, he saved. The word save, soteria in the Greek, which means to save, to deliver. It means to keep. It means to preserve. That by faith, he built an ark that would house his family to keep them safe during the storm. You ought to be busy building. Ought to hear hammer and nails now, because you're busy building. Now let me tell you what it's not saying. It's not saying that Noah, because of his works or by his works, spiritually saved his children. It's not saying that. It's saying that by his works, by his faith, he physically saved his children. For you can't believe God for someone else's salvation. That you have to believe God for your own salvation, and they have to believe God for their salvation. But because of his salvation, he built an ark and physically saved his children from destruction. He prepared for his family. Listen, you ought to go home if your children are not here and your spouse is not here. You ought to go home and preach this sermon over. To physically and spiritually prepare your family for the storm that's coming. For the old deacon at the church, our former pastor said, there's a storm out over the ocean and it's moving this whole way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you'll surely drift away. Drift away, Lord. Drift away. Is there anybody in here? Remember that song? There's a storm out over the ocean, and it is moving this whole way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, it will surely drift away. Drift away, Lord. Drift away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, it will surely drift away. Listen, you got to be saved. Look at somebody and help me preach. You got to be saved. Positioned in righteousness because there was a storm coming. 120 years of nailing. 120 years of sowing. 120 years of running here and running there to get materials for the ark. 120 years of putting it together. 120 years of preaching. Saying it's gonna rain. 120 years of warning the people. But they fail to heed the warning. And there's terrible destruction that's heading your way if you fail to heed the warning. I'm warning you now that there is a storm coming our way, and you don't need to be in a physical ark, but you need to be in Jesus. You ought to shake somebody's hand and tell them you need to be in Jesus, because Jesus is a shelter in the time of a storm. Jesus is our strong tower. He is our leaning post. You need to look at somebody and tell them you need to be in Jesus, because Jesus is a solid foundation. The winds may blow, the rains may descend, and the winds may rock you from side to side, but if you're in Jesus, you're gonna stand the storm. You need to look at somebody one more time and tell them that if you're in Jesus, you're gonna withstand the storm. Thank you, Jesus, for being the foundation. Thank you, Jesus, for being our leaning post. Thank you, Jesus, for being our way out of no way. Thank thank you, Jesus, for being our refuge. But I want to thank you most for being our salvation. It was Jesus who went to Calvary and hung on the cross. Let them nail his hand and rivet his feet. Put a crown of thorns on his head. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. Didn't he die? Didn't he die? He died. But I thank God that's not the end of the story. He got up Sunday morning to give us victory over death and to conquer the grave. Sunday morning, if you know anything about Sunday morning, why don't you stand on your feet and slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, I thank God for Jesus, because if it had not been for Jesus on my side, I would have been gone a long time ago. But because of Jesus, I'm here today, clothed and in my right mind. And I want to give him a shout. I want to give him a praise. When I give you three, I want you to give him your best praise. One, two, three. Come on and give him your best praise. By faith, we heed the warning. By faith, we work in obedience to his command. By faith, we celebrate the salvation that we have in him, that is in Christ. In Christ we live, move, and have our being. In Christ we have the righteousness of God. In Christ we're blessed, we're protected, provided for, empowered. It's in Christ. Listen, faith that pleases him is active. Walk by faith, not by sight. Don't you try to mimic the world around you, but give yourself heed the instructions of God. Live in a way that's pleasing to him. Listen, when you obey, God will not only bless you, but he'll bless your children. Your children, children. Not only was Noah saved, but his wife, his three sons, and their wives, and two of every kind of animal. There were sacrificial animals in the ark, because while he was there with God inside the ark, God still desired worship. It can be wrath going on the outside and worship on the inside. People crying on the outside and praise and celebration going on the inside. God still desired worship. We gave him instructions as to the beast, the birds, that he desired sacrifice. Listen. You're safe in Christ. The ark is a foreshadowing of Christ's come, who has already came and died and gave himself. Now we are known as the body of Christ. And if you're in the body, you're safe. If you're in the body, you won't perish, but you will live eternally. with Christ, with God the Father. In His presence, undisturbed, uninterrupted. Listen. If you're not in Christ, don't you be like the people of Noah's day that mocked and scoffed at Moses, at Noah. As he built, they laughed at him and said he was crazy. Listen, people are saying that now as we're preaching. And as we're teaching the word of God, they looking from the outside saying that we are crazy. And it senses what we're doing. Don't you be convinced by people on the outside and naysayers. Because God has given us instructions to preach and to build the body. Preach and build the body. Listen, if you're here and you're not saved, I invite you to come and receive salvation in Christ. That salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. I don't care what universalists say. I don't care what people who subscribe to this inclusive doctrine. If you're not in Christ, you're not saved. And He's the only one. He's the only way unto the Father. Come, receive Him today by simply believing in your heart. Bless you. Bless you. And confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you're here and you're not saved, come. Bless you, buddy. Right there. Bless you, man. Bless you. Oh, my. Bless you. Bless you, my God. Young men, come on in here. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Come on, if there's another, come on, come on, come on. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid you Bethlehem Baptist Church in your heart, come on. Come on, thirdly, if you're here and you are backslidden, come on, come on. The Lord will restore you. My, my, my. Come on. Come on. My soul is happy. My soul is happy. Oh, my soul is happy. My soul is happy. My soul. My soul is happy. Bless you. Come on. Come on. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on. Come on. Come on, let me hear your church. Sing with the choir, if you will. Come on. Come on, help convince somebody of Jesus Christ. Come on. Mackenzie Hall and Ricardo Howell III. Hall III. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you all decided to come to the Lord. What's your age? How old are you? 60? 20. All right. You want to be saved? What's your name? Ricardo Hall Sr. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, to be saved, you have to believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is God's Son. He was sent from God to die on the cross for your sins, to pay your sin debt. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And He came all the way from glory to earth and went on Calvary to die on Calvary's cross for your sins. Amen. Do you believe that He was buried and on the third day God raised Him from the dead? Amen. Do you believe in your hearts now that Jesus Christ has taken residence and He wants to be your guide? He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus Christ now is Lord and Savior of your life for the rest of your life. That you're no longer alone, but He's in you. His Spirit is in you. And it's a process of discipleship that I want you all to be a part of. We have orientation classes and Sunday school classes and ministries that we want you to be a part of here at New Bethlehem. Because listen, the more you hear the word, the more like Christ you become. His will is to conform you to the image of Christ Jesus, that you be less like yourself and more like Him. Father, we thank You for these who have come. Lord, we pray Your blessings upon them. Forgive them of their sins, Lord, and give them Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they will walk with You and talk with You. Lord, they'll be guided by You and guarded by You. Keep them from themselves and others. Lord, and when they are tempted to go back into the world, I pray that Your Spirit, Lord, will convict. Lord, that they stay with You. That they walk with You for the rest of their days. That they will be great men, Lord, for Your kingdom work. Forgive of sin and cleanse of unrighteousness. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for us as a church that we will take them on as spiritual responsibility to lead and to nurture and guide, to help them grow as we are growing in You. Lord, help us to grow together to Your pleasing, Your pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Hang on in there, man. Looking for you. We are standing. Does everyone have a communion couplet? If you don't raise your hand, deacons are coming. Our brethren to come, join us at the front for communion. If you don't have a communion couplet, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you don't have. If you don't have. First Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for fellowship, faith, family. Thank you, Lord, for this ordinance of Holy Communion, that we can honor you in our partaking of it, that we remember the sacrifice of your Son Christ as he hung, bled, and died, and as you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for salvation in Christ. Now, Lord, we ask for forgiveness of sins, mending of relationships, friendships, in Jesus' name. Amen. Broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take ye. Take drink.